Before we begin this morning, I want to just put out a little commercial. We've gone a little different direction for Sunday school for this next quarter, 6 months, year, however long it takes, and doing a study of the Old Testament, beginning with Genesis and working our way through every book. Our goal is to have it kind of a learning experience, to be almost school-like, to teach us and to remind us the truths of God's Word. And just this morning, even seeing how the God, you know, we always tend to think of the God of the Old Testament as being different from the God of the New. And just looking this morning and seeing the grace that God shows us, as He showed it to Adam and Eve, to Noah, to Abraham, and seeing how God truly is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to just throw that invitation out to you. And as we begin this morning, I wanted to, and I spent some time this morning just trying to find a YouTube video that would kind of fit that I wanted to show. I don't know if any of you have been perusing and seeing those little videos of, like, maybe the six month to 2 year old children who have put glasses on for the first time and are seeing their mother or father clearly for the first time, and just the look on their faces. I found some today. I found one of a man with his new bride. And I'm not sure if it was before the ceremony, after the ceremony, but he was colorblind. And I guess now we have technology to have glasses that can cause colorblind people to see colors. And to see grown men cry as they're seeing clear and vivid colors for the first time. There was one I found of some children, two sisters over, must have been in Africa or some third world country, who were born blind and through some surgery had their eyes open. And I wanted to show that so you could see the reaction. Because as we read through a passage such as we are studying this morning, since we haven't experienced anything like this personally, we can tend to just compartmentalize it somewhere and kind of overlook it. But imagine, as I read this morning, put yourself in the place of this man that Jesus comes to as Jesus changes his life. John chapter 9. And as he, Jesus, passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him." And we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied it to the clay and applied the clay to this man's eyes and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. And therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? And others were saying, this is he. And still others were saying, no, but he is like him. And he kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, how then were your eyes opened? And he answered, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed and received sight. And they said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. Father, help us this morning to understand the blindness that we had before we knew you. For some in this room, for many who are watching or listening, the blindness that they still have as they are in need of a miracle of your saving grace. Father, teach us this morning. For we love you, and it's your name we pray. Amen. Now, as we remember, we spent all of chapter 8 discussing Jesus as he began with the story of the woman caught in adultery. And as Jesus moved into the treatise of him being the light of the world. And as we had family issues with the Jews saying, we're okay spiritually because Abraham is our father. And as Jesus so politely reminded them that your father is the devil. As they were so upset and so mad that they were taking up stones to stone him. And as verse 59 of chapter 8 says, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So it's after this exchange, as Jesus is exiting the temple, that he passes by a man who was blind from birth. We sometimes think that the Bible is just so full of miracles. We think the Old Testament just has miracle after miracle after miracle. But in reality, for the expanse of time, between Genesis and Matthew, miracles were very few and far between. And it was only during the life of Jesus, and only during 3 years of his life, that miracles on this earth exploded to where they almost, within Israel, became commonplace. Remember, at the end of John says, many more things Jesus did that are not contained in this book. That if we were to write them all down, there's not enough books that would be able to contain them. So when we're talking of Jesus doing miracles, as he began them, they were different. They weren't commonplace. It was something that was unique to the lives of the people. And now 2.5 years into Jesus' ministry, some say that almost everyone within Israel had been healed of their physical diseases. And I don't know if that's true or not. The Bible doesn't say that, but Jesus definitely healed very many. And one of the most common problems of the day was blindness. It was probably one of the most common maladies that people had, as people were either born blind or became blind within their lifetime. And in the sheer category, if we were to list different miracles and healings that are actually listed, there's 2 or 3 times more instances of people blind being healed than anything else. So here, this day, Jesus, walking out of the temple, sees a blind man. Now, what generally happened with these people, someone who was born blind back then, people had to care for them. They couldn't care for themselves. So someone in their family, most likely, would take them out to a place like the temple, a place where people were supposed to be generous. I mean, as I was studying this, I was just surprised that, you know, I don't want to give any ideas, but I'm surprised that we don't have, you know, you got the people begging at the end of the off ramps. I'm surprised we don't have people standing outside of churches with their hands out or their signs up, coming to people who are supposed to be the most generous. I mean, we get phone calls, we get emails, we get messenger notes of people asking for things from churches because we're supposed to be generous. That's what the world thinks of us. The same back here. As people were going to the temple, these should have been the most generous people. So the families would take their loved ones who were blind or lame or had some kind of physical malady where they could not work, and they would help to contribute to the family from the alms given by those who passed by. So this was just a common day for this man. We're not sure. The Bible doesn't tell us how old he is. All we know is that he has never seen anything before. Jesus passes by. And as they pass by, a discussion comes up. And we're going to see a shift now from the earlier part of John to from now to the end, which is approximately 6 months in time, to where Jesus' focus is going to be turned away from the crowds, away from the Jews, and he's going to be spending more time teaching his own disciples. So in this course of discussion, verse 2 says, his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" This was a common rabbinical teaching of the time. That if somebody had some kind of physical ailment, that there was some kind of sin involved and some kind of punishment from God. And the thought was it could be sin of this man or sin of his parents. And being he was born blind, the thought here would be more it was would have been the sin of his parents. So, teacher, who sinned? Him or his parents? And Jesus kind of tears apart this thought that it had to be sin-related. And he says it is neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Wow. So that the works of God might be displayed in him. I mean, we talked this morning in our Old Testament survey class of the orderness of God. How everything is done with a purpose. To where even this man's birth, being born physically blind, was done for a purpose that the works of God may be displayed in him. Remember, and we'll get to it later on as we go through John, but when Jesus comes to the grave of Lazarus, and his sisters are crying and wailing and saying, Jesus, you let him die. Why? And Jesus said, so the glory of God can be revealed. So many times we see the negative things in our life and we want to blame God. God, I'm so mad at you because this has happened. And that's generally one of our first reactions. And we're human. And I was talking to someone yesterday, and I told them, I said, you know, okay to be mad at God as long as we understand who he is and why he does the things he does. Our first reaction may be anger, but then we should settle into who he is so that these works may display him in his glory. My oldest son and daughter-in-law, I've told this story before, their very first child, excited, buying clothes, not, can't wait. As a young couple wanting to start their family. At their 20-week or so checkup, doctors came with some bad news. The baby has this ailment, this genetic disorder. If he lives through birth, he won't live very long. a hard thing to take. I mean, planning your first child, hearing this news. The why gods. All the questions that come with it. But then seeing these two kids, how they glorified God through this process. Did they hurt? Absolutely. Were they at times angry? Absolutely. In the end, did they see God working through this? They did. And we're still mindful that once a year, when Calvin's birthday comes along, this is the day that we need to give them grace and love. So don't always look at everything in our life as being bad or being at the evilness that comes from it. But realize the God that had planned this man's blindness works in and through our lives every day. And Jesus says, we must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day, for night is coming when no one can work. Now, Jesus is not talking about daylight and darkness. He's not talking about a.m. and p.m. But He's saying while we're here, while we're on this side of glory, we need to continue to work. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I wish, Lord, that I was with You, that I could shed this life of sin and all the evil that is around us. But while I am here, I will do the work of You and show You to everyone else. And Jesus says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus was our hope as He walked this earth. Jesus is our hope now. And as we come to know Him, as He comes, enters our soul, takes residence in our life. Matthew chapter 5 tells us then we are a light on the top of a hill. So as Jesus says this, He says, I am the light of the world. He's not only the light of the world, He is the creator of light. When He had said this, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied it to this man's eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Books and books and books are written on what's the implications of Jesus' spit, of this dirt? What does it mean? Why did Jesus use that? Jesus could have very easily have said, see. But understand, here's this man. He's not like some others that we've in similar stories, similar events. He's not crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, make me see." From all indication from this account, he's got no idea who Jesus is. So this man comes up to him, spits in the dirt, guess I'm glad he can't see. Jesus mixes his spittle with this dirt, makes a soft clay, puts it on his eyes. And gives him a command. Go and wash. The pool that Jesus sends him to is probably the same pool to where they got water from in the Feast of Lights that we talked about a few weeks ago. It wasn't anything special. It wasn't like that pool where everybody went and waited for the bubbling and everybody ran it. It was just water. But Jesus gave this man a command, and he obeyed. And he came back seeing. This man, born blind, could now see. Can you imagine? I guess I can't imagine that. I can't imagine somebody who's never seen before, the only reference they have to sight is what they feel. In some of those baby videos that I was talking about, the parents were saying how the children knew their parents when they felt the father's beard or the smooth face of their mother. And then to see the reaction as they put these glasses on. And what was seen through a glass darkly comes face to face. This man could see nothing. His life was complete darkness. And his sight is restored. I can't even imagine. Look at the reaction. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is not this the one who used to sit and beg?" And others were saying, "This is he." "Isn't that guy?" Yeah, that's him. Others were saying, "Nah, looks like him. Could be his brother. But no, that's not him." But he kept saying, "It's me. I can see. I'm the one." And then they were saying to him, "Well, if it's you, how then were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "Doctors went in, cut my eyes open, took some little tools and put things together, scraped out some cataracts." No. The man who is called Jesus
He made clay. He anointed my eyes. And he said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and I washed. And I received sight. Simple. Easy. No work of his own. Jesus put clay on my eyes. I washed it off. And I could see. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. Don't really know what he looks like anyways. I never saw him. He sent me over to the pool to wash. He didn't go with me. I don't know. I want to look at a couple reactions this morning to this. The implications of how it changed this man's life. Someone who is completely and utterly blind, able to see. Notice what he didn't do. I'd rather be blind. He saw the beauty of God's creation for the first time. He saw color. He saw light. He saw people. He saw the glory of God. Next week and the week after, we'll kind of liken this as Jesus brings it around as an example of salvation. As our eyes spiritually are opened. How when that happens, our life spiritually is changed. To where we now see the things of God. In clarity, how we should. Those of you who are watching today, or listening, or maybe even if you're here this morning, if you claim to see Christ, if you claim that your spiritual eyes were opened and your life has not changed, there's an issue. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. I'm the first one to put myself at the back of the perfection line. But when my eyes were opened, my heart was changed, and I wanted more of the things of God. I hope that's you today. Those again watching, listening, maybe even those here. I hope that's you. That God has taken the scales from your eyes, your spiritual eyes, open them to the things of Him. And your life has been changed unto a life of service for Him. For we are created unto good works, which He beforehand beforehand has called us unto, Ephesians 2:10. Next week, we're going to look at the reaction and how unsaved people, unregenerate people, try to reconcile this miracle. I mean, if anything, it should have pointed more to Christ as the Savior and Messiah. But no, they will justify it away. And then 2 weeks from today, we'll look at Jesus' explanation. So I hope you continue to join us as we traverse through this gospel. Father, we thank you that you are the King of the world. And in you, we have life and sight. Father, may you continue to grow us in the grace and knowledge of your word. May your Spirit continue to mold us and make us into the image of your Son. And Father, may we love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, you have not called us into this world to be moral sinners. You have called us into this world to be your image bearers, to be your ambassador, to be your children. Lord, I fail so often. Father, for the most part, I don't feel myself even qualified to be able to stand up here week after week. But Father, you use broken vessels for your glory. We love you. And we ask, Lord, your blessing upon the remainder of our time together this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going.